Good morning. It's good to talk to you again. I've got an exciting world changer message for you this month, something that's just burning on my heart, and the truth is I just can't wait to share it with you. You know, the last little while in my life has just been one of those exciting times of personal growth and personal development. And the real truth is I can't even remember the last time that I've had this much happen in my life just all at one time, other than when I got saved, other than when there were just some very specific events that happened in my life. And, you know, I think it's all about the time that we're living in. You know, we are living in a day when the Bible says that dark's going to get darker and light's going to get lighter. We're living in a day when knowledge is increasing. And, you know, when the Tower of Babel was built, knowledge was increasing, but through force, the knowledge was being used for evil. You know, Nimrod gathered the people together against God, and basically, this is really where Islam was introduced into the world. At the Tower of Babel, the crescent moon and the star was found, because this was the introduction of the anti-God religion that came into the world. And really, most of the inhabitants of the world were drawn into this. But you know, this is also, according to Hebrew history, where Abraham had an encounter with Nimrod, and Abraham chose to go his own way and to follow God for himself rather than following where everybody else was going. Now, I find that really incredible, and I realize that that was the seed of Abraham breaking away from the idolatry of his family. You know, his family were idol worshipers, and so they were very probably involved in the rebellion of Nimrod. But Abraham goes his own way and chooses to follow what God says. We are living in a day where light and darkness are polarizing. We're living in a day where the governments of the world are trying to force people into an anti-God world. And I'm telling you, it can be frightening unless we follow the Holy Spirit. You know, Abraham set out to find a city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't even know where he was going, but he knew he was not going to follow what everyone else was following. You know, as I think about Abraham, and of course, you know, today we have the Holy Spirit in us. I'm telling you, that's just so exciting that we actually have the capacity to hear the voice of God in our own hearts so that we don't have to be like Abraham. You know, there's a lot of specifics we don't know about this journey that we're on, but one thing we know for sure, we know what the end result is. The end result is the kingdom of God. The end result is a stone cut out without hands that the Bible says will crush the 10 toes of that idolatrous image that Daniel saw in his vision in the book of Daniel. We are going to see the fulfillment of the promises of God. Well, today, even though knowledge is abounding, once again, just like in the time of the Tower of Babel for evil, knowledge is also increasing to be used for godly purposes and for godly things. We are living in the most exciting times that a person can live. But I'm going to tell you something. The key here is following the Holy Spirit for yourself. You know, there's amazing things that some people say to me when they first get introduced to heart physics or hear some of the things I talk about the heart. Some people say, well, Jim, you're leaving the Holy Spirit out. You know, that's pretty phenomenal when you recognize how few times anybody in the Bible mentioned the Holy Spirit, not because they were leaving him out, but because there were certain factors understood. You know, heart work is the first step to following the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how much you talk about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how much you preach about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how many times you reference the Holy Spirit. The question is, do you follow the Holy Spirit? Now, following the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about these things we do in church, you know. Praise God for the good things that happens in church, but the truth is, most people that supposedly follow the Holy Spirit in church, it always amazes me how ignorant they are in real life, how many bad choices they make in real life, because they have no concept of truly following the Holy Spirit in real life, only the religious concept of following the Holy Spirit in church. Listen, following the Holy Spirit, it all starts with learning to listen. And that is something that very few of us have ever developed the capability of doing. You know, sitting still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, our concept is, let's work something up, let's get active, let's shake things up, and that's where we're going to find God. You know, that's sort of like the Old Testament prophet who went into the cave, and a storm goes by like a hurricane, and then an earthquake, and all of these mighty things happen. But he keeps waiting until he hears the still, small voice, because he recognizes that God is in the still, small voice. And I'm going to tell you what. People who follow the signs stay confused nearly all the time. They stay in contradictory decisions nearly all the time. But people who learn to quietly listen, sit, wait on the Lord, they learn to listen, and they learn to recognize the voice of God in their own heart, which in the New Testament is the only place that God really meets with us and really speaks with us. So in heart physics, we teach people to get quiet, to be still, to relax. And relaxation is incredibly important. You know, when Jesus starts his teaching about the Holy Spirit ministering in earth in his stead, you know, after he's gone, he starts it out with peace. Peace, given to you, not as the world gives. And the whole teaching about the Holy Spirit that follows over the next few chapters, I believe, is predicated by the fact that you're not going to get any of this. You're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you don't learn how to settle down and abide in peace, learning to listen. You know, I was sharing this in one of our messages in this new series that I'm doing on the wisdom to heal, where studies have been done, when you go into one of these chambers that has absolute total silence, you cannot hear a single sound. There's all kinds of research they do in these chambers. But one of the things you'll notice when you get into one of these chambers is you start hearing this high-pitched sound. And that high-pitched sound is the hum of your nervous system. How many times have we ever heard our nervous system? Then you'll begin to hear a low pitch sound. That low pitch sound is the sound of your blood. And then you'll start noticing your heartbeat. And if you sit in total silence long enough, you'll begin hearing things that are going on in your body that you've never heard before. You know, most people never even hear their heart beat unless their blood pressure goes up or unless they get so frightened about something that their heart is beating out of their chest. You see, we don't listen. We don't pay attention to what's going on inside of us. We keep trying to focus on the outside, thinking that God's going to show up in the big things. Well, I got news for you. God does do some big things. But in day-to-day life, it's the still, small voice. It's the ability to listen to the voice of God in your own heart. Then the question becomes, do you trust him enough to follow him? The Lord is my shepherd. See, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. And it doesn't do any good for him to be my shepherd if I don't trust him enough to follow him. He's not going to use his rod and his staff to beat me into line. The Bible says he's going to use his rod and staff to comfort me. And so the question is, after I get to where I can hear the voice of God, do I trust God enough to follow him? You know, that's one of the reasons that the meditation exercises that are a part of this heart physics module that I'm doing right now are so important. I'm going to tell you, when you meditate on the names of God as they are in the heart physics meditation called I Believe in God, as you meditate on who God is and what that means in you, what that means to your health, what that means to your security, and as you come to recognize that, I'm telling you, it's going to change your trust for God. It's going to change your willingness to follow God. Then as you do this next exercise that we're coming out with called the nine virtues, man, when you start recognizing the virtue of God, it's hard to not trust Him. So I'm wanting to develop, first of all, the discipline to be willing to sit down, spend time with God, and connect with God in your heart. You know, the Bible says, be diligent, one translation says, to enter into rest. King James says, labor to enter into rest. You know, there is a diligence of persuading our heart that precedes entering into the place of rest. And when I enter into that place of rest where I'm trusting God, then the next step is going to be that I'm going to follow Him wherever He leads. Now, I just got to tell you, I don't mean to be negative, but a lot of these goofy grace preachers, as they call themselves grace preachers, they're really not. They would relate to following God and obeying God as legalism or dead works or it's not important. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to give me abundant life, and He can't lead me into that abundant life if I am not willing to follow. So when you think about following the Holy Spirit, and this gets down into why I'm having just a personal revival, if you will. When you get down into following the Holy Spirit, here's the question I want to ask is this: how is the Holy Spirit leading you when it comes to truth? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to know the information, or is the Holy Spirit leading you to obey and apply the information? Remember, the word obey and the word believe are the same Greek words. I don't care what anybody says to you. If they call themselves a grace preacher and they don't teach about obeying and following God, they are not a grace teacher. They're really just probably a liberal teacher. We are called to a life of obedience because that is how God brings us into all that He has. The obedience does not earn us something from God, but the obedience brings us into something of God. It brings us into what Jesus had died to give us. Jesus has given us everything. It's already ours, but that doesn't mean it automatically works. He leads us into this life of applying the truth. And as we apply the truth in our life, because we trust Him, because we're following Him, I'm telling you, we experience the very best that life has to give. You know, a scripture that I have taught for 35 years from the book of John, the 8th chapter, the 31st verse, Jesus said, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, the first thing there is this: are you committed? Am I committed to being a disciple? See, I don't really meet many Christians that have any intention of being disciples. Everybody wants their ticket to heaven. Everybody wants a better life. But among people who say they believe in grace, I'm finding fewer and fewer people who claim to believe and preach grace that have any emphasis on being disciples of the Lord Jesus. The Bible really doesn't call us Christians. Now, the world called us Christians in the book of Acts, but God calls us believers. He calls us disciples. He calls us sons. There's a lot of things God calls us, and the sons represent our relationship. But believers and disciples, this represents obeying and implementation, because a disciple is a person who builds their life philosophy on the preachings and teachings of their Lord and Savior and puts them into practice, follows that discipline. That's really what it means. It means to follow a discipline. That's where the word disciple comes from. Jesus says, "You're truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching," this translation says. I don't even remember the translation, but I remember reading years ago in a translation that says, "You're my disciples if you put my teachings into practice." And that's what he's talking about here. Remaining faithful means as a disciple. It means you're holding on to Him. You are, by grace, you're implementing this discipline into your life, and that makes you a disciple. And He says, it's being a disciple, it's the implementation of My teachings that will cause you to know the truth. Now, that word know is a word that means to experience the truth, but it's not just a brief passing emotional experience. That word know in the Greek means to experience with every one of your senses. In other words, to see it, to feel it, to hear it, to smell it in every aspect of your emotions. And then it literally means to go on and master that experience. In other words, it consumes your whole life. So Jesus says, so if you're a disciple, then you remain faithful to this discipline, to the teachings here. And it says, and if you'll remain faithful, if you'll put these into practice, then you'll experience the truth in every aspect of your life. And from that experience in the truth, then that truth can set you free. And I tell you, I've been telling people, like I say, for over 30 years, that until we experience the truth, it's only information, and information will not set us free. Now, you could say, well, Jim, you're kind of stretching this thing about obedience here just a little bit. Well, let me read another scripture to you that has just, I tell you, this has been one of these scriptures that has just stuck in me, and I keep thinking about it. I don't really just think about the scripture. I think about the application of the scripture. You know, John 7:17 says this, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own. Now, let me read this to you from the New Living Translation. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. In common language, Jesus is saying something like this. Anyone who has any intention of doing this or putting this into practice will know if it's really truth or not. Now, see, our problem is, as I've said so many times, is we have absolutely no intention to put most of the truth that we hear or that we read into practice. Now, I'm not saying that when you listen to a sermon that you should be able to walk away and put every bit of it in practice. You know, there's things that I preach that I've been developing in my life for 35, 40 years. I don't expect somebody to listen to one sermon and suddenly they got this in their heart and are putting it in practice. But here is the question is, what are you listening for? You know, we've talked about the fact that Paul said, the goal of my instruction is love, first and foremost, from a pure heart with absolutely no agendas whatsoever and a clear conscience. So Paul said, there's some reasons to listen. And so if I'm listening to the truth, it should be drawing me into the love of God. It should be moving me to a place where I have absolutely no agendas, what secret agendas in my life, and it should be moving me to the place of a clear conscience. Now, all of that happens not because I've heard the information, but because as a disciple, this is the way I discipline my life. And I discipline my life by faith. I'm not talking about willpower. I'm not talking about dead works. I'm talking about this is what Jesus said. This is the truth of God. Father, I am righteous in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I am empowered to live this. I will follow you in this truth. And from there, our life gets dramatically changed. So the question is, do I have any intention of putting this stuff into practice? Now, you can get legalistic there, and that's most people do get legalistic there. People get under bondage if they can't do it. You know, when a person's listening to me preach, here's what I hope will happen. I hope that the one or two points that really stick out to them, I hope that they'll write those one or two points down. And I hope when they finish hearing that message, they're going to turn off that CD player. They're going to turn off their computer, or they're going to walk out of the room that I'm in. I'm hoping that what they're going to do is they're not going to waste any time. Immediately, they're going to sit there and say, what would this look like in real life? What would my life look like if I really meditated? When would I do it? Where would I do it? How would I do it? Would I say something? Would I do it silently? Would I sit? Would I lay? How would I do this? And then from there, it just happens in the doing. In other words, it comes to life in the doing. Now, until that's the way we listen with that intention, then the truth is we're not really disciples. We're not really faithful to His teachings. We're not really experiencing the truth. Therefore, we are not really getting set free. I want to tell you something. I've had new areas of my life where I have experienced new freedom just in the last few months. I mean, incredible freedom. Things that by grace I had been able to overcome. You know, there have been some areas of health that I have, by the grace of God, overcome them. I would walk above them. If they brought sickness or pain into my life, I'd experience the grace of God to rise above it and keep moving forward. But the truth is, there were some beliefs, some deep feelings that I had never actually been able to identify and had never actually sent away. And I've done this in years gone by. I remember, I think, talking to you about this a couple of years ago in one of our World Changer messages about being able to sit down and get in your heart zone and within just about 20 minutes be able to get up and be over something. You know, I've really mastered that part of it. I'm telling you, if there's something that's new, especially if it's an emotion, if it's a feeling that comes up, if it's something that's happening in this moment, man, I'm telling you what, I can either use the prayer of transformation or I can sit down and get in my heart zone. I'll tell you, I can send it away in a heartbeat. But I was not being diligent to track down and identify the root beliefs and sources of some of the things that were reoccurring in my life. As I have, the experience has been incredible. And I hope that as you follow through this series that I'm doing, I hope that you'll get each of the meditation exercises that come with this series. I hope that you'll get the workshop for putting off beliefs, feelings, and emotions. I hope that you're going to do some incredible in-depth work in your heart and that you're going to remove every obstacle that would make it difficult for you to hear, trust, and follow the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 16, Jesus is getting ready to leave. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come, and He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. You know, honestly, again, I hope I'm not sounding too critical. That's not my intention. But honestly, most of what we've been taught through our Christian life is that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and He's going to tell us secret things, and He's going to make us know what's really right and wrong. He's going to give us the interpretation of scriptural passages. You know, I don't really think God is interested in giving us the interpretation of scriptural passages. You know, Paul said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You know, so many times I'll hear somebody stand up and say, God has shown me what this really means. Well, you know what? Almost any scripture has multiple levels of application, and based on where you are in your life, you know, there may be one central truth within a scripture, but as far as where you are in your life, there's thousands of ways that you could apply that scripture based on what's going on in your life. Because see, I don't think God's so much interested in making us know more than somebody else knows, or making us have the secret inside information. I think God's interested in setting us free and giving us a better quality of life. So when the Holy Spirit comes to lead us into truth, I don't really think it's talking about leading us into the secret knowledge of the truth. I think when the Holy Spirit leads us into truth, He leads us into the application of the truth. So I want to encourage you, make it one of your highest priorities to be able to get still, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. Meditate on the names of God, the I Believe in God exercise, or develop your own. You don't have to use what I'm developing. Develop your own. I developed this stuff by literally going into a closet, shutting the door in our master bedroom and closing the bedroom door, putting on a noisemaker so I could not hear outside sounds. And thank God my wife and kids respected the fact that I had a prayer life. And when I went in there, they didn't come in there. They didn't knock on the door. They didn't interrupt me. They didn't bring me phone calls. But they were just so wonderful and supporting to me. And I would go into my quiet place, my secret place, First, I'd go into the closet. Then I'd go into the secret place, which was in my heart. And I'd get in my secret place, and God would show me how to do these things and how to walk these things out. I'm just passing on to you how I've experienced these things. I'm passing on to you tools that makes it easier for you than it was for me. There are places in my heart that it took me probably 10 or 15 years to reach that really you can probably get to in less than a month because of the tools that I've developed and passed on to you. But whether you use my tools or whether you do it yourself, the key is do it. Just do it. Just put it into practice. The key to victory is do it, do it, do it, do it, because you believe it. And get in that place where you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Wherever He's following you, you have a sense of trust and confidence that no matter who opposes it, no matter what it looks like in the real world, you know the voice of God and you follow the voice of God into the application of truth. I'm not talking about following Him into weird, strange things. I'm talking about following Him into the application of truth. And that is where life is going to get incredible for you. That's where you're going to go beyond anything you've heard, seen, or experience, or anything that's ever entered into your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He has come to show us, reveal us, and lead us into a life that's better than anything we've ever heard, better than anything we've ever seen, or better than anything we have ever imagined. Listen, life is meant to be good. God wants us to enjoy it. You know, I had a friend of mine send me a text the other day, and she was just saying, God loves it when we're happy. God loves it whenever we're enjoying life. And you know what? That is absolutely true. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. He taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I got news for you. Heaven is going to be one long, continuous celebration of life and God and how wonderful life is. You know, Jesus taught us to pray for the kingdom to come now. Then that's how we need to be praying, and that's how we need to be using our faith. Listen, life is going to get better and better and better. And don't worry about what's going on out here in the world. If you watch the world, see, if you can read the signs, Jesus said this. You people, you look at the sky, and you can tell by the sky that a storm's coming. He said, you can read the signs that are in the world, but you can't read the signs of the times. You can't read what the Holy Spirit is saying in your heart. You want to keep your attention focused on the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you want to follow Him. Because if you follow the world, it will lead you to distress, to fear, to trepidation, to depression, to trouble. Thank you so much for hanging in here with me, for helping me change the way the world sees God. I mentioned this in your letter. Over the next couple of months, we're going to have some new changes coming to our website that you're just going to love. And new changes coming in our capacity to not only serve you more effectively, but our capacity to serve the world more effectively. Thank you for helping me change the way the world sees God.